Hey, everybody, it's the Charlie Kirk Show. What is going on in Ohio, and what does it mean for you? It's wokeism and identity politics against white people gone in the worst possible direction. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There is a massive issue happening in eastern Ohio. Is it a modern-day Chernobyl? Maybe. There's a train derailment. Deadly chemicals are flowing into the air uninterrupted. We mentioned yesterday that the type of chemicals that are going into the air, it would be against the Geneva Convention on Chemical Weapons after World War I for this to be deployed on a citizenry. Yet the leaders are saying repeatedly, it's perfectly safe, it's perfectly fine, go back to school, go back there. If Joe Biden actually believed that, if Pete Buttigieg actually believed that, I would love both of them to go for a couple hours, go get a sandwich without a mask on, and show us how safe it actually is. Will a single member of the Biden cabinet visit Ohio and breathe in the air themselves? Do they actually believe that this air is safe to breathe? Now, it's fascinating to me. Typically, these stories are covered by the left and the media. The BP oil spill, the Flint water crisis. Typically, when there is a mismanagement by politicians and people's air is polluted or their water is infected, it is a non-stop media push and narrative campaign. Why is this different? Why is this only getting a couple mentions? Meanwhile, citizens are being told to return home, everything is just fine. We know that everything is far from fine, but there's a deeper reason that this is happening. You see, this train derailment that is now emitting incredibly deadly chemicals to the air is happening in a region of the country that Democrats have very little to no concern about. You see, if you know anything about Ohio, Ohio's a great place. I've visited there many times. And this is happening in East Palestine. They might pronounce it differently. Ohio, it's right near a place I know very well, where a friend of mine who was one of the biggest supporters of Turning Point USA was from, Hubbard, Ohio. I actually visited there for his funeral, Tom Patrick. This area, right near Youngstown, Ohio, Palestine, Ohio. Thank you. East Palestine, Ohio. Got it. This area is right near or in, we could fact check it, Mahoning County. This traditionally was one of the Democrat strongholds in the great state of Ohio. Republicans did not hold any sort of political power until a certain candidate came along and changed everything. Neoliberalism destroyed eastern Ohio. When you drive through eastern Ohio, right near Youngstown, and you drive through New Springfield, and you drive through New Middleton, and you drive through Hubbard, and you drive through these cities, they are museums. Every single one of these small towns is filled with great patriots, and they have a couple things in common. They have a bar. They have a post office. They have a dollar store. They have fast food restaurants. And they have a drug store. Now, of course, there are some small businesses that have managed to survive. But largely, this infrastructure, this robust middle class, muscular class town has been forgotten. Because people like Mitt Romney, working for Bain Capital, came in and said to the people that assembled the refrigerators, your dry cleaners, your laundry machines, the people that actually did the tough work that built America, people like Mitt Romney came in and said, we're going to send those jobs to China in a relocation strategy. Donald Trump came along in 2016 and changed the game. He said, this is not right. We're going to apply tariffs. We're going to make America great again. And for forgotten America that actually built the country, this was a welcome message. Mahoning County, that used to be the most Democrat county, flipped, and it made Democrats angry. White working class voters being the most loyal Democrat constituent outside of black voters became the base of the Republican Party. Ohio is no longer a battleground state. Donald Trump won it by 8 points or 10 points in 2020. Probably, I think he won it by 4 or 5 points in 2016. And so Democrats are seeing this train derailment, and Pete Buttigieg is doing press conferences about how rail workers are too white. No exaggeration. That was his comment the other day. Pete Buttigieg is talking about how rail workers are the wrong skin color. Meanwhile, weapon-grade chemicals are going into the air, but they're going into the air of a constituency that Democrats don't care for. I want you to watch this piece of tape and listen to it. This is the great Jesse Waters speaking to Nathan Velez, a resident of where this explosion has happened. I want you to look at him. Look at how he talks. He kind of embodies the archetype of what Hillary Clinton called the deplorables, or Peter Strzok-Strzok-Smirk called the smelly Walmart people. These people are not useful to the Democrats, and it's showing. Play cut 33.
As far as the smell, that's definitely present. I came today where we are right now at my shop. This is the first time I've been here in a week. And I was here 5 minutes and I have a headache right now. And you can smell it. Anyone who comes here who hasn't been here can smell it. Your cameraman smelled it. And then my house is just across the track. The tracks are right behind me on the other side of that wall. There's a creek, then the train. And my house is on the other side of that, and it smells too. And you can't spend a lot of time here without feeling like crap. And my question is, why, if it's okay, if it's safe, and all these people say it's safe, if it's so safe and okay, then why does it hurt?
Why does it hurt? Not a single member of the Biden regime would dare to go to this portion of Ohio and breathe in the air because they know it's dangerous. They know that it is actively poisoning the citizens of Eastern Ohio. So why is it that they kind of shrug their shoulders and they say, okay, whatever. It's very simple. It's because the war on white people continues. Why would you care for the white working class voters in Eastern Ohio? You haven't cared about them in other reasons or other portions. And I will prove it to you. If this train derailment happened in downtown Atlanta, in the densely populated black neighborhoods, this would be the number one news story. It would be Flint water crisis 2.0. There would be clamoring and activism and talks for reparations. And Buttigieg, meanwhile, is out there saying, listen, while this derailment is happening, while the act of poisoning is happening, he's saying, look, the problem is that workers are too white. Play cut 42.
We have heard way too many stories from generations past of infrastructure where you got a neighborhood, often a neighborhood of color, that finally sees the project come to them, but everyone in the hard hats on that project looking like, doing the good paying jobs, don't look like they came from anywhere near the neighborhood.
Right.
You can build community wealth that will help close wealth gaps in this country. if we can tear down those barriers. But that happens at the delivery level.
So Buttigieg is out talking about how workers are too white. For the last couple of years, I have been warning about this crusade against white people, and people shrug their shoulders and say, oh, Charlie, why does that matter? I could tell you why it matters. When there's a crisis now and the leaders hate working class whites, they're not going to scramble to save your life. They'll lie to you and tell you to go back home while you're poisoned. Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. I have never experienced anything quite like the new Strong Cell product. I take it right before every single show. It's so easy. And you've got to read up on everything that has been packed into these tiny bottles. You see, Strong Cell is a new scientific cocktail of cellular level replenishment. It's so simple. Just drink one small bottle of Strong Cell liquid per day and boom, you guys get NADH. I've kind of become a student of NAD. I'm going to tell you more about that in a second. Look, Strong Cell is a formula that helps boost your body's natural energy and restoration at the cellular level. NAD is a crucial coenzyme that is critical for creating energy in your cells. Now, you might say, Charlie, this sounds too good to be true. NAD, go look it up online. Go do 5 minutes of research on NAD. It is a miracle coenzyme. Some people call it the anti-aging enzyme. It can help with depression. It can help with anxiety. It can help with mental acuity, with memory. And Strong Cell also puts CoQ10 and wild-caught marine collagen. Again, I take it every day, and the difference I feel is undeniable. By taking just one small bottle of Strong Cell liquid every day, you can experience an energy boost within the first week and even more benefits within the first 15 days. After 30 days, you'll feel like a new person. But just don't take my word for it. Try Strong Cell for yourself and see the difference it can make. To make it even easier, use promo code Charlie at strongcell.com/Charlie for a 20% discount. Remember, this is not an energy drink. There are no stimulants or caffeine in Strong Cell. The formula is designed to generate long-term positive change, so give Strong Cell the full 4 weeks to work, and I promise you will not regret it. Learn more right now at their website. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie and enter promo code Charlie for a 20% discount. They have made me a believer. I could tell you, a special 20% discount for Kirk Show fans will apply whether you want to test it out for 1 week or 4 weeks, but I highly encourage you to try it for all four. So go now and visit strongcell.com/Charlie and enter promo code Charlie for 20% discount. We get so many people that want to partner with us and have their product advertised on our show. I say no to most of them. When I found out there was someone that was doing liquid NAD, I said, I want to learn about it. I took it for a month, and it's made a big difference. You've got to check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. Enter promo code Charlie for that 20% discount.
This is a concerning new update for residents living in the East Palestine area. This morning, we are learning that more chemicals, not just vinyl chloride, were on the Norfolk train that derailed over a week ago in Ohio.
New this morning, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency sent a letter to Norfolk Southern stating these three other chemicals were also aboard in some of those rail cars that caught fire. We spoke to a hazardous materials specialist who says that some of these chemicals are carcinogen. And this video here, News Nation acquired of dead fish in cloudy water. Residents say they've also seen sick animals and their homes in town are still covered in debris.
You know, it's interesting. For a government that tends to make everything an emergency, COVID is an emergency, Ukraine is an emergency, they can't seem to scramble into a posture of urgency when working class white people start to breathe carcinogens and potentially deadly toxins. That they won't be bothered with. They love emergencies for emergency use authorization, for mRNA. Let me make sure I'm precise in my language here. If we are understanding this Ohio situation correctly, this train derailment and the toxins that are being put into the air is likely more dangerous than the Chinese coronavirus to the citizens of Eastern Ohio. What you're seeing, though, is what those of us that have been very focused on the culture war, I put that in quotes because the media loves to attack us and pastors love to attack me for saying, Charlie, you're wasting your time on the culture war. wasting your time. You see, when I say that we need to win the culture war, or that there are dangerous and poisonous and toxic, no pun intended, ideas that are spreading, this example is a tragically perfect one. Let me give you two reasons why. When you start to build an entire cultural narrative about hating white people, and you make it normal and acceptable to hate white people and whiteness in general, which was platformed by Coca-Cola to major universities, to professors, to Nicole Hannah Jones, then don't be surprised when those ideas all of a sudden manifest in the inaction of your government. Let me say this again. If there was a train derailment in downtown San Francisco, people would scramble with urgency because all of these LGBTQ gay people might be breathing in carcinogens. If there was a train derailment full of chemicals in downtown Atlanta or in the south side of Chicago or in Philadelphia, there would be mass mobilization efforts to try to help those people because they'd say, well, this is just another example of racism. But it is the deplorable folks, the ones that look like the way I do, that somehow just kind of get glossed over. That's number one. Number two, we have a transportation secretary who says yesterday in his comments, look, what we need is to have people that are less white working on construction deals, which is essentially what he said. Why is Buttigieg in his position? We've made this argument before. It's worth repeating. You have an incompetent, ideologically driven automaton who basically is ChatGPT as a transportation secretary, who also happens to be gay, and that's the reason he's in the position that he's in. Pete Buttigieg was not chosen because of his intellect, because of his experience, because of his wisdom, because of his virtue, because of his prudence. Pete Buttigieg was chosen because of his personal lifestyle choices. And we receive a lot of emails here, freedom@charliekirk.com. And we get a lot of hate emails. And one person who emails us constantly and hates our show, this is interesting though, it's a real person, says, quote, need a lot of swear words, it's about time you white guys get to breathe in chemicals like the blacks living in redlined areas. Now it's time for revenge. Cry me a river and all this other stuff. Now, I'm sure that's not held by every single Democrat, but it's certainly illuminating. We have a couple emails that are saying that, saying it's about time that white people experience the toxins and the poison that black people have experienced. What example he's talking about, I'm not exactly sure. Douglas Murray talked about this in his book, War on the West. But our government, our institutions and our colleges, it is in vogue to hate the white man. And that's why the working class whites of Eastern Ohio are now being told to fend for themselves. Look, it is time to consider a rollover of that 401k into an IRA. The investment world is completely different in 2023, and you cannot do the same thing as last year. Woke companies are aggressively implementing ESG. Interest rates are going up, and inflation is still lingering. If you have over $150,000, now is the time to move your money to a biblical, responsible investing strategy with my friends at Pax Financial Group. I put my money with Pax, and guess what? I just got a report it's up 12% since last year, and that's while everyone else is down. No joke. Here's how you can connect with Pax. Text CHARLIE to the number 74868. That's it. Just take out your phone. Text CHARLIE, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 74868. So take out your phone. Text CHARLIE to the number 74868 for biblical responsible investing. Text CHARLIE to 74868. Okay, let's talk about Ukraine. Right now, there's a series of meetings happening, really brokered by NATO. NATO is holding a meeting right now to discuss the alliance's strategy in the midst of the Ukraine war. One of the themes of this meeting is that thanks to the war in Ukraine, our own readiness is now rapidly falling. Ukraine is firing 10,000 artillery shells a day, and we're supplying almost all of them. Our stockpiles are now currently running low. It will take years to refill them. So we spend $1 trillion a year on our own military. We are now sending $100 billion to Ukraine, which is two North Dakotas, the entire GDP of North Dakota. And why are we doing this? Is anybody in our government trying to negotiate peace, trying to get to a place of a settlement? Or are we trying to de-escalate the tensions? And despite that, signs are showing that the war is about to go in a very bad direction. So let me tell you what's about to happen. The one-year anniversary of Putin immorally invading Ukraine, and we've been very clear on the moral terms here, a strong country should not invade a weak country just because they want it, is coming up. That one-year anniversary is coming up. There is a window in time when the harsh winter will moderately thaw before the mud season kicks in. Putin is likely going to mobilize hundreds of thousands of troops. Remember, last fall, Putin very quietly announced the mobilization of 300,000 fresh troops for the Russian military. But he hasn't yet moved them to the front lines. And so for the past couple months, these troops have been undergoing preparation and training, and it seems like they're about to be sent into battle. This pains me to say, but tens of thousands and probably over 100,000 people are needlessly about to die because of the American government's lack of interest to try to broker a peace settlement. A bloodbath awaits us. Now, Vladimir Putin is about to really push the envelope. He's about to go as hard as one can possibly go. And a lot of the restraint that we may or may not have seen, you talk to defenders of Ukraine, they say Russia's been bombing hospitals. You talk to people in the middle, they say that's over-exaggerated. I don't know. But I do know this. Russia did show restraint after we likely bombed their pipeline to not retaliate against us. But Putin is running low on patience and is certainly seeing a window of opportunity. And this window is going to present itself in late February to mid-March. The international community is going to portray him as the worst war criminal ever, and a lot of people are going to die. Our government could stop this. It's, you know, laugh to say that if Joe Biden, right, yeah, if Joe Biden would do this, if anybody in the American government would fly to Minsk and facilitate a meeting between Putin and Zelensky to say the eastern part of Ukraine can go to Russia and we're going to stop a bloodbath. A bloodbath is imminent. You heard it here on this program. I hate to say it, but our prediction is likely going to be right. And no one in the media has the courage to say it out loud, that this is about to be a slaughter. Russia is aiming to hit the same window that they did last year. It's very hard to launch an offensive in the dead of winter, but it's almost impossible to do it in early spring because Ukraine just turns into a massive pile of mud. So there is this 5 to 6 week window, which is why Putin called up those hundreds of thousands of troops in the fall. He's been preparing them all winter, and he's going to go after it. So the NATO knows this. This is not a major secret. The media is not saying this to try to continue to have the American people on board for support of an effort that is about to turn. And so NATO is, look, in the private meetings, they're probably saying right now about how much more support they need to send there. But look, this is General Milley admitting, remember Mr. White Rage, that Russia does indeed have the numbers. Play cut 38.
Well, they are attacking in the Donbass right now. Their progress is slow. It's a war of attrition. They're taking heavy casualties. Their leadership and morale is not great, and they're struggling mightily. However, they do have numbers, and as you know, President Putin did a call-up of several hundred thousand, and those folks have been arriving on the battlefield. So they do have numbers, and whether or not they're successful in pressing the fight, that remains to be seen. But that fight has been going on.
He's talking like this is our proxy war, because it has become our proxy war. were heavily involved. From armaments to training. And I do not have evidence that we have active military troops on the ground, but you've got to wonder if you can trust the government here. So what I'm trying to say right now is this war is about to get even messier than anything we have seen. What basically we have seen is the beginning stages of what is about to become a deadlier and bloodier war. Russia has about four times the people as Ukraine. They have people to spare. Ukraine does not. If you know anything about Russian military history, a war of attrition almost always favors the Russians. Just send more human beings. Overwhelm them. Russia loses battle after battle, but they do win wars. Let's go to cut 40. MSNBC saying the Secretary of NATO said Russia is preparing for the next effort. Play cut 40.
We already heard from Jan Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO, saying that the Russians are preparing for this next offensive. It may even be starting. They may be in the sort of the shaping operations phase of it. Once that begins, Ukraine needs to hold their defensive lines. They need tanks. So think of it as a tank provides them with protection from incoming fire, but it also allows them to pack a punch to fire back on the Russians during this offensive. So that's a critical capability.
We're about to see a bloodbath in a very scary situation for the West. Cut 41, NATO says Putin is not preparing for peace. He's launching a new offensive, and the training of Russians is not at the same level as Ukrainian forces. Play cut 41.
Almost 1 year since the invasion, President Putin is not preparing for peace. He's launching new offensives. So we must continue to provide Ukraine with what it needs to win. What Russia lacks in quality, they try to compensate in quantity. The training don't have the same level as the Ukrainian forces, but they have more forces. And the Russians are willing to send in those forces and take a high number of casualties.
So this is becoming a rather tragic story because hundreds, tens of thousands of people are going to die in the next couple of weeks. But this involves America, and this involves the West. Remember, we are part of NATO. The Secretary General of NATO says, he's got to be careful in his language here, obviously. He says NATO is not part of the conflict, despite the fact that NATO partners supply advanced weapon systems to Ukraine. That's the Secretary General of NATO. It does beg the question, what is the West going to do? What is America going to do when Russia, I'm going to use some chess terminology, starts to mobilize their queen? What are we willing to lose? Russia is showing how much they're willing to sacrifice to win here. How much are we willing to sacrifice? A country that is much further away from us, of no importance, except maybe some abstract philosophical argument. Are we willing to go all out here if this spirals out of control? What I am trying to warn you about today is, and NATO is agreeing with me, and the troop repositioning of Putin certainly reinforces the argument, and the sources in the government that I've talked to in the Department of Defense and in the intel agencies that have told me, Charlie, this is about to be a bloodbath. You got to tell your audience that this is about to go sour. What is our government going to do if Putin successfully pushes back the line 100 miles, 200 miles west? What are we going to do? The answer is we should immediately intervene and broker a ceasefire. Our government does not want that. That would be bad for profits, for Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman. That would be bad for the warmongering politicians. Are we sleepwalking into an irreversible situation that could be best described as the precursor to World War III? We are trying to warn you and the American leadership, this is about to go in a very troubling direction. You have not seen anything yet. Putin is about to put it all on the line with anywhere between 300,000 to 500,000 troops as his opening salvo. Look, are you concerned about the American K-12 education system? Are you worried about what your children and your grandchildren are learning or honestly not learning in school? If you answer yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. They're now offering 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis. It's titled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arnn. The special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education, explaining why parents and teachers, not unelected bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children are learning. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis at your church, local business, or even in your doctor's office. Do not miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. I love Hillsdale College. I'm an enthusiastic promoter of them. So check it out right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. So if our nation, if our government was interested in the best solution for our own country, America, and also for the West, and even, yes, the people of Ukraine who are the real victims here, we would be having active efforts for peace talks in any way, shape, or form, just to keep talking, to try to keep negotiating. And who has been the one facilitating all of this? Look, I'm not a fan of Vladimir Putin, but you must understand him. If you send the metrosexual Emmanuel Macron to try to negotiate peace, Putin's not going to take that seriously. Putin is a very old school. He thinks in the 1400s. That's not a good thing. It's the way he thinks. It's one of the reasons why he respected Trump. Trump being alpha male leader of the West, willing to use force, Putin said, boy, I don't know about this one. Not exactly something I want to deal with. Trump said, I will walk over there. He said, if you walk over the line, I will come and I'll bomb the Kremlin. And Putin, and the entire time of Trump, Putin thought to himself, is this guy crazy enough to do that? We are heavily involved in this proxy war, and there is some clamoring for a War Powers Act resolution, but technically, this does not require War Powers Act. So maybe we should call it the Proxy War Powers Act resolution. Now, the counterargument is like, well, Charlie, we're not involved in the war because we're supplying weapons. Like, hold on, I think the game has changed a little bit. I spent time with the House Freedom Caucus last weekend with over 20 of them. I talked to them, great American patriots, from Lauren Boebert to Chip Roy to so many of them. And they all agree that the pipeline story changes the game. You see, if we did indeed bomb the pipeline, which I think, of course, we did, at the very minimum, we provided intelligence and were aware of it and were helping coordinate it. What are we supposed to believe, the Greeks did it or like the Italians? I mean, no one would have, no offense to them, they do not have the sophistication nor the gumption to go bomb a piece of critical infrastructure of the Russian Federation. Edward Snowden, who I have mixed opinions on, says that the entire UFO hysteria is engineered distraction from the Nord Stream pipeline bombshell. He might be right, he might not be right, but he certainly has seen under the hood a lot more than almost everybody else has of what our government is up to in the clandestine activities. And he exposed a lot of it and what short memories we have. So here we are. Putin is about to make his move. And yes, you will have people like Lady Graham and Mark Warner, and Sheldon Whitehouse. They're going to be saying we need more weapons, and they're going to get really close sometime soon. You see, they're not going to say troops on the ground, because I know that's politically unpopular. But no. They're going to do the Kinzinger thing. Kinzinger floated this out last spring, you might remember, and it failed miserably, but they're going to go back to it. Let's just establish a no-fly zone. Remember that? Remember Adam Kinzinger went out and he said, let's just do a no-fly. It's not troops on the ground. We'll just police the airspace. It'll give the Ukrainians a fair shot. And I guarantee you in the coming weeks, one of these warmongers is going to come out and they're going to say, look, Putin's about to do his offensive. Let's just help even the playing field and let's establish a no-fly zone. For those of you that are emailing us, Charlie, we shouldn't go to war, I want to ask a provocative question. Are we already at war with the Russian Federation? We probably bombed their pipeline. We're supplying weapons. We're supplying assistance. We're supplying training. We've put attempted crippling sanctions and tariffs to try to oust Putin. Guess what? Putin is just as popular, if not more popular, in the Russian homeland than ever before. Someone who I know that was born in Russia, really sweet woman, lives here in Phoenix, family friend. I asked her, hey, your family back in Russia is Putin. She said, oh, he's more popular than ever. Some of the Russians are a little, you know, they're saying, why have we not taken Ukraine yet? They're kind of confused. But Putin is just as popular with mainland Russians. So Putin is about to escalate this. And the West is going to try to make him out as some sort of Hitlerian villain as a way that, as a prerequisite that we need to then establish a no-fly zone, which then, of course, will mean troops. They keep on giving us guarantees. Well, we need to kind of split the middle and we need to do all this sort of stuff. How about peace? And yes, I'm fully aware the only way you get to peace is through strength, obviously. There are so many options that should be on the table here to be able to negotiate a settlement. I'm not hearing a single sentence from the White House or the Pentagon or the Department of Defense on this. Not a single. So here we are. It's coming up. The big offensive is going to happen in the next couple of weeks. NATO is all but saying this out loud. Ukrainian forces are going to be overwhelmed. It doesn't matter how much ammunition or shells we give them. And then everyone's going to then say, the Europeans are going to say, well, America, what shall we do? How about this? Let's get Congress to just vote on an up or down vote. Are we at war with Russia? Just a really simple vote. How about we support Matt Gaetz's resolution to say that we shouldn't send more Ukrainian war funding? So here we are. And if you are not prepared to send your grandson to be drafted into the U.S. military, I encourage you to start advocating for a peace deal before this thing gets wildly out of control, because it might already be there. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.